It's kind of what I always try and be. And I don't know if this morning I'm going to be a nice guy. So you might have to bear with me. God's really laid something on my heart for the church. And as I say, it's challenging. It's challenging to give it. And I think it's going to be challenging to receive it. Not that I'm bigging it up or anything. But see how we get on. So I guess it's based around. So in this quarter's bio, the little pamphlet we get every quarter, there's a little bit on me in there. If you've read it, I'm sure it was thrilling. But it talks about the fact that what I do in organisations is what I call transformation. Okay, so it's kind of, this morning is focused on transformation, but rather than focusing on transformation of companies, which is what I do more for work, it's transformation in us. Okay, so I've got a little prop. You know I like props or slides. There's no PowerPoint this morning, there's no videos this morning, and there's no flip chart this morning. But I did need a prop, because I know some people rely on Andy having props. So, this is more to give an illustration, I think, as well, of what God wants us to see. I always think visuals work. So, bowl of water. It won't work well if you're listening to this on the internet afterwards, but anyway. So, bowl of water, okay, normal still water. Washing up liquid. There are other brands available. So, I actually feel this is a little bit what happens to us when we're Christians. We get and receive God. But if all we do is receive God and carry on, how different does that look to how it looked before? Not very. It's just water with something else in it. What we actually need, if we're going to make a difference, if we want it to look different, we've got to... I'll get wet while I'm doing it. I haven't practiced this. But we've got to stir it up. We've actually got to do something different if we actually want what we've received to be different, to looking normal. And what I want to talk about this morning is how do we go from plain, boring water to frothed up Christians? Yeah? Frothed up with excitement, that is, Christians. Yeah? Because if we do nothing, we'll just stay a simple bowl of water. And I don't think that's what God wants for us. In fact, I know that's not what God wants for us. So, transformation. So God's looking for us to be transformed. So the first thing to do is a quote of what is transformation. Because I'm clear on what that is because I do it all the time. But the Oxford Dictionary calls it a marked change in form, nature or appearance. Which I thought was a bit bland. Wasn't quite what I was looking for. So if you go to the Cambridge Dictionary, and don't ask me why there's more than one, but if you go to the Cambridge Dictionary, it calls it a complete change in the appearance of or character of something or someone, especially so that that thing or person is improved, which I thought sounded a bit better than the first one. So the complete change in the appearance of or character of someone, especially so that that thing is improved. Okay, so transformation is not little bits of change. Okay, we kind of do often we kind of move a little bit, or we'll do something that makes us change a bit. But actually, what I want to talk about this morning is transformation, which is something radically different. It's a significant step. For me, it starts in our minds, okay, and in our paradigms, and it's that what I want to talk about today. I guess the title of today is, are we living with Jesus as our Saviour, or are we living with Jesus as our Lord? Okay, big difference. I was reading a book recently where this was kind of a thing, and it certainly spoke to me quite differently. Are we living as Jesus as our Saviour, or Jesus as our Lord? Okay, there is a big difference, which is what I'm going to talk about this morning. So I think a lot of us, and I include myself in this, I'm certainly not standing here by any means of this is, I'm fixed. But so I just want to say that at the beginning, because it's a real challenging piece. We're just called to be different. Okay, when we put the washing up liquid in, when we become Christians, we are meant to be different. Yeah, we're not meant to be the same. Just want to kind of focus on that a little bit, and then kind of go into how do we do that. So first piece, Colossians 2, 6, there's lots of Bible verses, so I'll give you a chance to maybe... I just wanted to check it was grounded, you see. So Lots of Bible verses. As you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Okay, so the bit I want to focus on there, Colossians 2, 6, 7, is around we accepted Jesus as our Lord, not as our Saviour. Okay, he is our Saviour, but it says in Colossians, as you accepted him as your Lord. Okay, so the Greek word, I've even got Greek in. How good is this, eh? Some of you will be impressed. The Greek word for Lord is kurios. Probably said that wrong. Which means master, owner, supreme in authority. Okay? So master, owner, supreme in authority is kind of what Lord means. Saviour is defined as a person who saves, rescues, or delivers. Okay? So Jesus definitely did that. But he's far more than, as we're hearing about this morning, is God. It's far more than just being our Saviour. Okay? It's a great way in, but it's only a touching at the surface. So, a quick quiz, because I know some of you like quizzes. This is audience participation. How many times is Saviour used or referenced in the Bible? Just a guess. Wild guess. Numbers? How many times is Saviour used as a term in the Bible? 100? Higher, lower? I feel like Bruce Will. Higher? Higher than 100? 20. Higher? Okay, mixed. Nobody said a big number. 36. Which I was really surprised at. Because I would have guessed higher than 100 if I was guessing. How many times is Lord used in the Bible? 200? 250? Thousands? 7,800 times. So Saviour is referred to 36 times, Lord is referred to over 7,800 times. So I guess it means something. Yeah? It's kind of a Bible fact for you all, if you're in a pub quiz again. So over 7,800 times is the word Lord used, and only 36 times is the word Saviour used. John Bevere, who some of you may know in America, he puts it nicely. Lord declares the position he holds in our life, whereas Saviour describes the work he has done for us. Okay, so Lord is what he should be in our lives. Saviour is a gift that we've got by recognising him as Lord. We cannot partake of the benefit of his work unless we come under his position as Lord and King. So, I guess how I interpret that, and as I kind of work that through, as if Jesus truly is Lord in our lives, and this is where it gets a bit awkward, if Jesus truly is Lord in our lives, he must come first. Okay? It must be first. Must come before family, must come before friends, must come before work. He's kind of got to be the beginning. From the minute we take our first breath when we wake, to the minute we take our last breath as we sleep. I know we do breathe while we sleep, but you know, you get the point. He's got to be the number one. That's what Lord means. Yeah? I could accept Jesus as my Saviour and just be the washing up bowl before I stirred it up. I've accepted him, but I'm not going to be any different. Yeah? If we're going to accept him as Lord. So I guess for me, I find life really busy. Okay, I think we all probably find life too busy sometimes. And I set out earlier in the year to do Bible study every morning. I kind of thought when I get up, wherever I am, I can always at least get up and focus on God before the day starts, putting God first. Not being very successful. I have pretty much every day read the Word, but often it's the last thing I do before I go to bed. And I'm doing it because, I need to do it, because I'm task-orientated. That isn't really living with Jesus as Lord, kind of fitting it in at the end of the day. Some days I don't even get time. Some days, from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed, it's just crazy. And then I catch up at weekends. Again, it's not really living a life where I would say Jesus is Lord. It's really difficult. Somebody once said to me, because I often complain about time. I kind of think my biggest prayer would be more hours in the day. I know some of you maybe would pray the opposite. I don't know. But For me, I'd love more hours in the day. And somebody once said to me, which has always stuck with me, this was years and years ago, he said, each one of us has the same 24 hours in the day. What defines you is how you choose to spend them. Which I thought was really kind of challenging. We all have the same 24 hours in every day. What defines us is how we choose to spend them. Yeah? And that's a real challenge. So as I've studied this, there's a couple of main themes I want to talk through. So one is denying ourselves. Okay, so if Jesus is Lord, one of those things is denying ourselves. Second piece is around living a transformed life. So what does that look like? And then this is a really hard bit. The third bit is, so what if we don't? Because the Bible's quite clear what happens if we don't. And I found it really scary. It's kind of the bit of the Bible that we don't often look at, I think, because we go, well, that's not lovey-dovey and warm and fuzzy. But it's still in the Bible, and the Bible's true from the beginning to the end. So that's really the piece of, so what if we don't? Okay, are you with me so far? You're not too upset yet. Good. Okay, so denying ourselves. So first piece on this, Mark 8, verse 34 to 35. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, this is Jesus, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Okay, so that kind of says there, we must give up our lives. That's kind of the first piece around denying ourselves. And then the next piece I just wanted to bring out, which as I read, so the next piece is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This is a bit of a longer one, but this is kind of, I think, a real challenge as I read it. Now, I'm living out the New Living Translation, NLT, because that's kind of the one I'm reading at the moment, but I'm sure it will. It's very similar in other translations. So this is from Paul to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Okay? And I would say, as Mick was saying earlier, we are in the last days. So there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. I think we could look at the world and say that's probably true. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. We can probably all think of people who would fit in that mold. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Now, so far, I was reading that going, that feels a very kind of now word, even though it was written 2,000 years ago. But then the next bit is what really hit me. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. They will act religious, and they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. And it was the bit that really struck me was on the, they will act religious. Because I thought often a lot of people who are Christians act very religious, maybe. But actually, when you read the first bit, you kind of go, well, maybe they would fit some of that as well. So it's a real challenge, I think, in terms of, are we living a lifestyle? So we don't want to be people who act religious. So for me, there are things we're going to have to stop doing. We may have already stopped doing some, but I think it's a continual process for transformation. So if we really want to transform and not be just bland liquid in a bowl, we're going to have to stop doing different things. And I guess we'll all know what's relevant for us as God lays it on our hearts. Just some examples, gossiping, lying, being selfish or self-centered, pornography, spending beyond our means, getting into lots of debt, wasting time on pointless activities, hours and hours on social media, hours and hours watching television, shopping, surfing the internet, gaming, things that just distract us from life, putting work first, that's definitely one for me, overeating, oops. There we go. I've finished with that one. And being jealous of others. There's lots of things that prevent us or stop us from living a transformed lifestyle. And the problem is we can kind of become set in our ways. And I think God lays different things on our hearts at different times, but fundamentally, if we're going to accept Jesus as Lord, we have to accept that that means we're going to have to let things go. And we'll all have experiences of things we have let go, but it's a continual thing. And I really felt God laying it on me to bring. I know for me, one of my big challenges, I have many. Nice when Rachel said, there's lots of mountains this morning. I've certainly got a few of those. And one of the big challenges for me is work, because I tend to put work first. Yeah, work consumes my mind. First thing I do when I wake up is check my emails. Last thing I do before I go to bed, I'm checking my emails. I'm kind of just connected all the time. And I think a real challenge for me is that isn't living or accepting Jesus as Lord. Luke 46 reminds us why we need to stop if asked. So Luke 6, verse 46. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Yeah? Again, a very challenging word. Even we may call him Lord, but then we choose to do our own thing. This is going to be a challenging statement where you'll all be going, maybe. God is a dictator, not a democracy. Okay? God is a dictator, not a democracy. Dictator in our language is very negative, tends to be used as a negative word. Yeah? Dictators, as we think about them around the world, are generally negative, have a very negative. However, God is different. He is a dictator, I would put it to you, but he's a compassionate dictator, has our best interest at heart, and loves us more than we could ever know. And if you believe that, then God being a dictator is actually cool, because you kind of go, he's a dictator who I know has got the best for me, so I therefore should follow him. The challenge we've got in, I believe, in our country is because we live in a democracy, we can sometimes think God is a democracy. We can sometimes think, well, if I don't like it, maybe that wasn't really for me, that's for other people. If we don't like something, we think we can maybe do something different, or we can choose to ignore it. I think one of the biggest challenges I find of being of the Christian teaching, generally, is there is a risk people get to I can do what I need to do, ask for forgiveness, everything will be fine, and I can move on. And then I can do what I want to do, ask for forgiveness, and everything will be fine. And often that's Jesus is a God of love. I'm not saying he isn't. But equally, he is God. He is Lord. And that should mean something. Yeah, that should mean that we don't continue to keep doing what we do. So fundamentally, if God says X, then we do X. We don't rationalize away whilst that might be relevant for other people in the congregation. But it's not relevant for me. Okay, so that for me is a real challenge. Still with me? So denying ourselves, I think, is a key piece. Yeah, and God will lay on us what it is that he wants us to deny, how he wants us to reprioritize our life and the way we use our 24 hours every day. Yeah, so really, really challenging is. In terms of living a transformed life, what does that look like? Just a few verses from Galatians. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to this cross and crucified them there. And then Galatians 6:14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has died. My interest in this world has been crucified. And there's a real challenge. Because we all live in the world. We often talk about, I think it's in Romans, having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I sometimes do feel we live more 2 feet in the world and then we step into the kingdom every now and then when maybe we're on a Sunday morning or when we're in an environment that enables us to do that. And I just think it's a real challenge to keep living through that. As I look at myself, so I've been a Christian for 25 years. It's kind of scary when I wrote that down. I didn't even think I was that old. And I guess for me, what I find, I recognise I'm very different to what I would have been had I not given my life to Christ at 16. So I don't doubt that. But as I've been going through this, I've kind of challenged myself on, have I truly ever been transformed? So I've been baptised. I've been going to church for 25 years, I've been praying for 25 years, I've read the word for 25 years, etc. But have I truly been transformed? Do I really, or have I ever really accepted Jesus as my Lord rather than just my Saviour. I keep coming back to that in my own. Hopefully it isn't about Andy, this, by the way, but I'm just trying to, you know, relate. I recognise it's not easy. A few other verses around living a transformed life. 1 Peter 1:14-16. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. Romans 6:6-7. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin may lose power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So we are set free. And then Romans 6:11. So you should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. And then 1 John, it's not just about reading the Bible, but there's so many nice bits in the Bible that said the point. I thought I might as well just read the Bible in a way, because it kind of says what I wanted to say. 1 John 2:3-6. And we can know for sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. We know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they are alive in God should live their lives as Jesus did. There's loads of verses about living a transformed life. And as I read them as part of this, it was just really challenging and kind of going, I hear all of this, but am I living it? Am I seeing it? Am I experiencing it in my own life? And am I living that out? And I just felt as I was preparing for today, this was something that God wanted me to bring. It's only through, and it's nothing I can do, okay? It's nothing we can do individually. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can truly be transformed in the way that we think, in the way that we act. But it does take a step of us to mentally choose to say, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus isn't just my Saviour. I mean, that's a great place to start, but it's got to be more than that. Okay, so the Holy Spirit will help us, but we have to mentally and physically, we are left with free will. I do sometimes wish I wasn't, but we are left with free will. And we can always choose to fill our time in many, many ways. And I just feel it's a real challenge on what do we fill our time with? Are we putting God first, or is God coming when we have chance? I guess, as I'd summarised it, if we don't get transformed by the power of the Spirit and by choosing Jesus as Lord, we will continue to keep doing what we always did. We'll continue to keep slipping back. Yeah, and all those verses we talked about living a transformed life talked about a step change, not a little bit better every day, but a real step change in the way that we think and in the way that we respond. So this is where it gets difficult. So what if we don't, Andy? Okay, because it's often easy, well, not easy, but often people stand up at the front and kind of say, you need to do different, you need to think differently, go challenge yourself, which is good. But I always think there has to be a consequence. So what if I don't? Because at the end of the day, we have got free will. So you could freewheelly walk out of here and decide, well, that was interesting, but I'm going to carry on doing what I want to do anyway. But what is the risk of this? And this is where it gets really challenging. So this next verse, I must have read it hundreds of times, but when I read it in the context of this, it scared me to put the fear of God in me, which I think sometimes having the fear of God in us is a good thing. Okay, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That was scary. It was for me anyway. I was kind of thinking, I kind of lived under Saviour and thought that was it. You're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're saved. And therefore, almost without regard, you're fine. Or it will be easy to get into that place. But not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That for me, certainly for me anyway, kind of shook my very core of, wow, that's different to the paradigm I had before of what would happen. Matthew 7:23, a couple of verses on. But I will reply, this is Jesus, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Again, quite a... very clear, at least. It's not cloudy, a little bit grey. Does he mean this? Does he mean that? I think that's kind of clear. Lawlessness, and a bit more Greek coming up here. Lawlessness, or the breaking of God's law in Greek, is anomia, which is defined as actions that are in active violation of either divine or innate moral principles. In other words, not adhering to God's word. So, get away from me, you who break God's law. So I think, just to put this in context, I don't believe, because we have got a loving God, I don't believe that's referring to periodic stumbling or sinning. You know, sinning is, we know we're going to do it, and Jesus died on the cross that our sins would maybe be forgiven. Thank God for that name. But I do think habitual ignorance of, or neglect of, or disobedience to God's word is different to sinning. Yeah? So, Matthew 7:23, but I will reply, I never knew you, get away from me, you who break God's laws. To say, I don't believe that refers to sinning every now and then. Or, you know, in whatever that may be. But I do believe, I'm sure there'll be other scholars in the church may be able to argue with me if I'm right, but I do believe when we get into habitual ignorance of, or habitually repeating sin, or choosing to disobey the word of God, or choosing to do something different to what we know God is asking, is different. And that is more the lawlessness. And that's really challenging. Yeah? The so what if we don't? Our actions speak louder than our words. That's a phrase we often hear, and I think it's so true in our Christian walk with God. It's so easy on a Sunday when you're in church to be, yay, praise God, God's great, smile on our faces, etc., etc. Actually, our actions, our language, the words we use, the way we behave speak so clearly, I think, in terms of, are we living that lordship? I think if we're just pretending, we're kind of playing around the edges, then are we putting a mask on? I do think we often put masks on, especially when we walk through the door on a Sunday morning. How's your week been? Great, I'm fine, thanks. I have a friend who doesn't allow me, who always picks me if I say, I'm fine, thanks. Because he said, I'm fine, thanks, is the worst word ever. If all he can say is, I'm fine, you're not either being honest, not I'm great, or I've had a really bad week, etc. Just, oh, I'm fine. But we tend to just drift into that, don't we, in the way we use English. Oh, I'm fine, thanks. We've had a really bad week. Oh, fine, thanks. And it's really about, you know, being honest and true to ourselves. The final part of Sermon on the Mount, I am nearly done, by the way. Just in case you wonder. The final part of Sermon on the Mount, for me, summarises everything that I've talked about really well. So Matthew 7, 24 to 27. It's a well-known verse. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And I kind of feel that's how you put the lordship piece. Are we treating Jesus as our Lord and living under him being first in our lives? Then we've got good foundations. And everything else fits into perspective. Because we know the power of Jesus. We were hearing it this morning as we were praying and thinking about that. We know that on that foundation, there is nothing that can shake us. Yeah? But we've got to, again, be in that place where that's the case. I guess it comes to me at the end of the day, one of the questions I asked myself as I was preparing this is, do I believe I know best for my life, or do I believe God knows best for my life? And I wrestled with that, really, because I know what I'd like to do with my life, but I do stand here and say I know God knows best for me, even though that might not be what I think is best for me. I do know that. And I think that's one of the questions. If we believe that, then that has to move us into a point of challenging ourselves. So if you do have the best for me, then why would I do anything else? Yeah, why would I not want to live that transformed life? So kind of just wrapping up, if the band wants to move on up. I believe we can only be transformed when we accept that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his will for our life is better than our will for our life, if they are disparate. Okay? We have to put him first. It requires obedience. it does require saying no to things that we may choose we want to do. It does mean thinking differently. It does mean the first thing in every day should be, Jesus, thank you that I'm here. How can I get to know you better today, and how can I serve you best today in your kingdom? See, I think one of the challenges is, whilst it's, I think this is a challenge for us as individuals, it actually becomes a broader challenge, because if we as individuals don't get transformed, then we as a church will be like the washing up liquid at the very beginning. You know, if you thought of the bowl of water as Rotherham, and then we inject Elim Church, if we all just sit here and get comfortable every Sunday and it becomes a social club, then we'll be ineffective in Rotherham. We'll just be a little bit of liquid in the water, but it won't be visible, it won't be different. So if we don't change individually, then we as a church definitely won't change. And then the kingdom completely misses out. So it's not even just, I need to think about it for me and it's all about me. There is a bigger perspective to this. Final Bible verse, I guess, from me at least. Ephesians 4:21-24. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, this is a key bit, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Yeah, so for me, it's about choice. And we all have personal choices to make around whether we accept Jesus as Saviour or whether we accept Jesus as Lord. That for me is very different. If you'd asked me a few months ago, I wouldn't have said there was much difference if I was honest. Because for me, it was just the same thing in a different lens. But actually, as I studied it, as you look at the Word of God, remember, 7,800 times over, more than, it talks about Lord. 36 times it talks about Saviour. That for a reason, I believe. Jesus is our Lord, not just our Saviour. Yeah? That was it. So, I found it really challenging. I certainly didn't stand here with a view of, I'm cool, you know, everything's fine with me. But I really just felt it was God was saying that's a challenge for us as a church, individually. If we want God to move powerfully in this place, we had 3 or 4 months ago, I think there was lots of words, use of the words of expectation. Yeah, we talked about that a lot, kind of expectant. And I certainly feel a little bit that that's kind of faded away a little bit. And I don't think it's because God doesn't want us to be expectant, but I wonder if we are... We're expecting something to happen when actually the expectancy should be in ourselves for us to do something different. And then we have there is a real expectation that this church will be different. And we can be different in this place. Okay? So. I'll just close in prayer and then we'll move into worship. And the communion will come round. So, Father God, I thank you this morning that you have brought us a challenging word, Father God. I pray that you will help those seeds sink into good soil, Father God, that we will be transformed, Father God. You promised transformation through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we choose to put you first, Father God. We choose that you are our Lord. We choose to say that you are number one in our lives. Father God, I pray that you will help us see and know for those things in our life where we put them above you. Father God, I pray that you will help us to see that you will point those things out to us in our lives, that we can let them go, Father God, and really put you first as Lord of our lives, that we may see transformation in our lives, we may see transformation in this church, and Father God, that we may see transformation in this community. In your precious name, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.